and welcome to the Water from the Rock podcast, where you get a fresh drink for life. This is Tyler Robbins from Calvary Baptist Church, and with me as always is Pastor Tim Robbins, my dad.
How you doing today?
And my assistant Levi.
Hello.
Who also is my brother, in case you forgot. Before we get started today, I just want to say, we have people who are listening in Utah to South Carolina, Canada to Mexico, and we're just seeing many more people starting to listen. A lot of people have started listening from Utah, and I just want to say, if there's anything we could do for you guys, we'd be glad to help in any way, shape, or form. If you want to share a testimony, I'd be glad to share it on the air. Actually, I had a testimony I wanted to share today that we got in. I actually got through my Twitter account.
Absolutely, go right ahead.
Someone told me, though, that they had a family member die, and that they had to travel a couple hours to go and go to the funeral, go to the wake and stuff like that. And they listened to our podcast the whole way there, and just they said that hearing simple Bible truths that they were here, that they already knew, but they had it kind of recited into their hearts and minds through our podcast, actually helped them and kind of gave them peace as they traveled.
Kind of renewed their faith.
Well, it just helped take their mind off it and just remember that God is sovereign. God is still on the throne.
That's exciting to hear. I'm glad to hear that.
I love hearing testimonies. And,
to be honest with you, I mean, it's just not for the people that he had mentioned in those states. Listen, folks, it's just anybody. The Lord's been gracious enough to share with us some truths and insights. Not that we've got all that many. We just have got a few, and we just want to share those with everybody we can, and we're walking in the light we have, and we're so grateful that he shared those things with us, and we just want to share that with others, be help to them as well.
Absolutely.
And also, those are just the people that are downloading it. We don't know if maybe even more people in different states are listening to it, like constantly, you know what I mean?
Exactly. I mean, to be honest with you, this thing is kind of spread like wildfire, and I hope that it's really been a blessing to you guys. I know just recording it, spending the time, putting the work into editing and stuff like that has really just been a blessing to me. I really just enjoy being able to serve the Lord like this, and
It's just like a cool thing, a cool hobby you could do.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah. As a teenager, I was really hoping to be able to run like a radio station for our church, and this is kind of the way radio's gone, is more to podcasts.
Yeah, it was absolutely. How many hours a week do you think you put into the podcast?
Just the podcast alone. Usually it takes us about an hour, hour and a half to record it. Then after editing, it takes about another half an hour, and then different formatting and uploads. I probably put in 2.5-3 hours, maybe 3.5 hours a week, just in this, and that isn't counting scripting. That's just editing and digital work.
Wow, that's not too bad at all. I mean, you know, it takes a little while. I mean, it's a lot of time to put into something, but at the same time, though,
only half an hour.
Yeah, 8 or 10 hours or something like that in it. So.
Well, and then scripting alone usually takes about a good hour, hour and a half, maybe more, just depending on what topic we're covering.
And that's just like cutting into your own free time. That's not like out of your other schedules. It's like, it's cool to see the dedication you're putting into this.
Oh, it's not about that. I just like to be able to serve the Lord. And, you know, our pastor really does a lot of that too. I mean, our pastor works 70, 75 hours a week minimum.
Yeah, and I try to at least nap every so often. yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that, Tyler. I appreciate the work that you guys put into it. And I know, Levi, you put a lot of work into our sound ministry as well, and I thank you for that. And
absolutely.
I appreciate all the folks that are tuning in and listening. And again, we don't have all the answers, and we're not here pretending like we just know everything and nobody knows anything. We're just here to just be a help to people. We love people, and we're not here to fight with folks. We're just here to share the truths that we know of, and if there's ever anything you got a question on, or you need some help with something, you need some wisdom,
counseling, prayer requests,
give us a yell, and you can call us, you can email us, you can tweet at us. Just contact us in any way, and we'd like to be a blessing to you. So,
I would like to share some news here real quick with you guys, though. Anybody who's listening, we are on the verge of launching our own app for our own church. So you won't have to go to the website anymore to download or listen to messages. You'll be able to do it on your phone through the app. And as soon as it's available for download, we'll give you all the information. You guys can download it and put all of our messages, all of our events. It has access to the podcast through it, links to all sorts of different kind of free content, and I'm kind of blanking out here as I go to tell you, but I hope you guys will download it, and this will be big blessing to you.
It's also like really easy to use and maneuver around.
We've made it the easiest thing because our pastor is not exactly the most technologically gifted person, so we try to make it easy for even him.
I was going to say, my son would tell me, just go to Google Play and download this, and I Had
or
no
open up
idea.
Your Dropbox and it's right there, you know?
Yeah, I open up my laptop and I start typing in Google, and so I had no idea. I had to do it on my cell phone. But yeah, we try to make this stuff as easy as possible and help those that you know, maybe want to listen on the go or something. So
also, I don't think my dad wants to share this yet, but he's working on a devotional, and as soon as that's available, we'll let you know, and you'll be able to, we'll hand that out.
That'll be down the road a little bit, but we're working on it'll be a daily devotional, and it's Water from the Rock, and I think I'm trying to do 365 days, and I'm somewhere around 100 to 125 days or so, and so I've still got better part of another half a year to, you know, two-thirds of a year to go yet, and it's taken me almost a year to get to that. So we're a ways down the road, but we would definitely like to do that. There's a lot of different dreams and ambitions and stuff. I felt like the Lord would kind of direct us in and that kind of thing.
I know we're not going to be passing that out anytime soon, but I just wanted to kind of give people a glimpse of where we're looking at down the road, next mile or two. And stay tuned, stay excited. There's a lot going on, and I hope that you guys will stay interested and keep coming back. I know it's just a blessing to see this thing grow.
And also, along with us making this new app, we've also redid our website, so it's a lot more
user friendly, a lot more modern.
Yeah.
We've put a lot of work into that. Me and Levi have probably spent, I don't know, 25 hours a week the last 4 weeks to just work on the website and app. So
yeah, and I think the website's pretty much done. We're just working on the app now.
Yeah, and now it's just a couple little content things that we got to take care of. So
has the website been launched in the new format then yet? Or
officially, no. We have a couple things we love to do. I need you to proofread one more page, and I think we'll be pretty much all set for all of our content.
Good deal.
We have to get the web host to sign off on it. So,
and it's still to be at the same address.
Yep,
bytheblood.org.
Yep. Okay. We haven't changed that. We own that name. So,
and it's bytheblood.org. Correct.
Yes. Okay. Yep. Actually, there's also three Q's and a Z in there. Good luck. No, we own that name. We bought it 15 years ago. We still have it. So.
Yeah, it's just cool to see how God's providing and all these new assets in life, you know?
Absolutely. It's really just exciting to watch things grow. But anyway, you know, truth be told, we spent the last 7 minutes and 30 seconds kind of, you know, spitballing a little bit. So let me go ahead and share something with you real quick, then we'll get right into today's discussion. If you guys want to get a mug, if you guys want to get a t-shirt, we're working on designing for t-shirts. Mm-hmm. If you guys want to get just some, basically just some free Water from the Rock merch, or swag as Levi likes to call it.
I do not.
Yes, you do. Or is that so 2008? I don't know anymore. I'm getting old. If you want to get any of that stuff, we're giving it away for free. Just contact us. We'd be glad to get it shipped out to you.
In any way.
Yep, we'll ship it to you for free. We just want to be able to give you these things. You'd be proud of it. And, I mean, truth be told, we put a lot of work in designing these things. I got a couple different contractors we're working with. And so I hope that you'll reach out and just get your free cup. Get your free shirt. Be happy. You know.
Yeah, we try to.
It's a great thing.
Yeah, we try to, go off of what God provides. We don't.
Absolutely.
We don't charge anything for what we do. So it's just.
No,
yeah.
Absolutely not. We don't charge at all. We believe the Bible says freely receive, so freely give. God mm-hmm. gave us free salvation and free hope, free mercy, free grace. Why charge anybody? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, free truth, you know, all sorts of insights that God's shared with us that we just want to pass along. So anyway, let's go and get started today. So, Pastor, I kind of want to talk a little bit more about the resurrection, a little bit more about the crucifixion.
Absolutely.
Just the importance of the blood, kind of what you just went through.
Sure.
So I want to ask you here real quick, whenever Pontius Pilate met Jesus, and I know this is going to be kind of speculation and kind of, you know, kind of a harder question to answer, but whenever Pontius Pilate met Jesus, do you think he already kind of knew who he was? Do you think he had heard the rumors?
Oh, I think he's probably heard of Jesus, and you know, Herod had heard of Jesus for quite some time and really wanted to meet him, but he had never had the chance to. And then when Pilate sent Jesus to Herod, he wanted him to show up. He wanted Jesus to perform. He wanted to see the miracles.
He thought he was a magician.
Yeah, basically, kind of in a sense, you know. And I think it was more of that of, you know, more of a mockery and kind of a scoff. It's kind of a scoff, and you know, it's like, all right, if you're really God, let's see it, so to speak,
and prove yourself.
Yeah, and in my opinion, and again, like you said, it is speculation, but in my opinion, I think Pilate probably had heard of Jesus, and if he hadn't, he was well aware of kind of a lot of the goings on, and I talked about this, I think, last week in the podcast, maybe it was in church or something, but one of the things that Israel had to be really careful of, as the status they had was that as of a peaceful nation. Not that they were very peaceful people, because they were always kind of borderline, almost right, about ready to lose that. Yeah, and ready to lose that. But when you had the status in the Roman Empire as a peaceful nation, what that did was this, is that allowed you to practice your religion, govern yourself your way, yet as long as you didn't break or offend any of the Roman laws or cross Roman lines. But if you lost that status, they came in, they took the government out, they took the religion out, you had
executed everybody.
Yeah, or rent them off or something, and basically all the Sanhedrin, the chief priests, all these people would have been out of a job, maybe out of a family, out of their country, possibly lost their life, like you said. And so when that would happen, then you have the problem of now the temple's going to liable to be destroyed, and Israel, the chief priests were really nervous about this, because when Jesus had come in the week before on Palm Sunday, when he came in, the people had gathered to him entering Jerusalem. And as he came in, it wasn't just like, you know, if I go to Des Moines today, nobody gathers at the edge of Des Moines going, hey, the preacher's here. Mm-hmm. They don't do that. But everybody had kind of gathered out, and the whole city seemed to just really be proclaiming Hosanna, you know.
Rejoicing, celebrating.
Messiah, yeah, proclaiming, you know, Jesus is king. And again, a lot of times when we think of the crucifixion, we think of, you know, Jesus being put to death. It wasn't just the fact that they thought he was a blasphemer, because the Bible says they called him a blasphemer, mm-hmm. Okay? But it was more political than we give credit for, because they were afraid that with this crowd turning like they were and being on board with Jesus, they were scared to death that if Jesus then all of a sudden says, all right, I'm the Messiah, I'm the King of the Jews, let's go and let's take the Roman Empire out, he would raise up an army that would be fairly large.
Absolutely.
But it would never be a match for the Romans. The greatest army in the world in that time period.
People who were ruling the entire known world. Yeah.
Unless God's in it, you know. That'd be like, you know, us getting a few shotguns and we've got 50 of us holed up. We're going to defend ourselves against the United States Army. Good luck with that, you
exactly.
know. I mean, God's going to have to be in that, you know. Otherwise, that is not going to happen. And so, with that being said, they were very nervous that Jesus would do that. That's why Caiaphas, like we said last week, I believe, was, you know, he was the one contending over the fact that, hey, it's good for this guy to die to save our nation.
Mm-hmm. So basically, they made Jesus the scapegoat.
Yeah, basically.
Which that a part of like Old Testament prophecy?
I was
going
to say that's exactly when you go back to, you know, you go back to the Passover and you go back to the feast and stuff. But they would have two goats they would bring, and one would be slain and the other one would be set free, and that was called the scapegoat. And so it would be taken outside the city and set free. And again, that's kind of what Jesus was in a sense for the nation, because by him dying, it saved their nation from kind of raising up in rebellion against Israel or against Roman Empire. But we see later on, by, you know, the 60s or so, I start to say 1960s, by around the 60s, Simon Bar Kokhba, as we talked about, I think it was last week.
And, we did, yeah.
And I can't remember if I brought on the podcast in church or where it was.
We speak 15 times a week.
Yeah,
it's hard to keep things straight.
12 actually. But yeah, exactly. It gets a bit confusing sometimes, but you know, like I said, he raises up, and by doing so, they had pretty much put down that rebellion. And when they did, that's when they came in and took out the leadership. And pretty much after that, we see everybody kind of scattered. Israel's no longer a nation. The temples, just as Jesus had prophesied, are not one stone left upon another. They'd taken all the gold out between the bricks, and then we see now that Israel will no longer be a nation. all the way up until, you know, they become a nation in 1948 or so is whenever the chart, 1940s or so when they really kind of start becoming a nation, and then 1948 when it's completed. So
yeah, when they officially, like, adopted the Constitution. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have another question for you, and I know you hate answering speculation questions, but
sure.
I do have a question for you, and this is something I've kind of always kind of off and on wondered, but I've just recently read through, the Gospels, actually read through them all, but I just reading again about the high priest and stuff. I feel like it was incredibly evident, especially when you study the feasts, when you study the different prophecies of Isaiah and even in Psalms, that Jesus was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. And I don't know how these guys who were required to memorize all the books of the Bible missed that. So I guess my question to you, I know I'm building up a bunch of this, but my speculative question I want to ask you is, do you think that maybe God had kind of hardened their hearts so that way, kind of the way that he hardened Pharaoh's heart to let Israel go, and then he's able kind of to take care of Egypt at the same time? Do you think he kind of did that so that way there would have to be the deliverer slain at that point? You know, kind of like trying to fulfill his law?
Well, yeah. I mean, God was in, he's sovereign, so.
I know, but do you think he kind of hardened their hearts, you think?
It's certainly possible. I don't know if I ever run across the verse that would ever allude to that. But we do see that when Jesus comes, we're talking 400 years since the last prophet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's you know, you can imagine, you see how much our nation's changed in 50, 60 years. You know, you go back to 1920, and America had really started to embrace, they had started leaving, you know, vaudeville, they started leaving evangelism, things of that nature. They started to embrace motion pictures.
Yeah.
And Billy Sunday said that that the greatest enemy, he believed, to his revivals was the motion picture. Because as soon as motion pictures came out, he never once had a revival with the numbers of people show up as like he did before that. And
yeah, and that makes perfect sense. People would rather be entertained than learn.
Yeah, and so we're talking about 100 years ago. And we see how much we've changed in, you know, 100 years or 50 years. Imagine what a nation would do in 400 years, or imagine what a people would do in 400 years.
So, yeah, I completely agree. Sorry, I just had another question here I wanted to share or ask. Do you think that because of that 400-year gap, do you think there's a lot of learning and understanding that kind of went by the wayside because there was no real movement of the Lord? That was really recorded?
Maybe. I mean, anytime you're in that situation, yeah, you would think that a lot of that would take place. But here's again, you know, like you said, it is kind of a speculative question, but we're talking about this thing of preparing the way of the Lord. The Lord had to come at a perfect timing.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says it was in the fullness of time. It means that the time is exactly complete. And God had perfected it just as he wanted it to be. And there's a lot of other scriptures talk about, you know, just for the sake of time, we kind of skip past those a bit. You know, whenever he returns, when he comes, and by doing so, he comes at a time period whenever Israel is under great oppression underneath a Roman emperor. Who greater to deliver them than God himself? Mm. You know, and God himself shows up. But again, like you said, that they had rejected him. But I think a lot of that has to do with fear. I think a lot. I mean, again, Israel kind of has been this continuous problem that is a picture of really the same problems that we live with. Like here, I'll tell you something I was meditating on today. I was thinking about, all right, when Israel came out of Egypt, what was it that the Israelites complained about? Because you see that they get in so much trouble with God because they're always complaining. But what are the things they're complaining about?
Water.
Well, they complain food. About not having water, but they complain also about, you said, they eating the same food over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And I got to thinking, you know, how many times we don't like leftovers? And if we do, leftovers for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day for 6 weeks? You know, could you imagine eating manna every day?
40 years.
Yeah, exactly. The Bible says that they had it every day, and it was angels' food. But at the same time, though, you see them say later on their soul loatheth it, means they hate it. You know, they're tired of it. You know, they're sick of it, and so they complain about having to eat the same things over and over and over. They also complain about being in a dangerous place where they feel like their life's threatened and they're no longer safe. They're complaining about it, you know, being in a place where they're kind of all alone and they're vulnerable. which is the same things. What is a lot of our prayer life about?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I mean, they're praying the same needs. Things. Yeah.
We act like God's a drive-through menu or something.
Yeah,
sometimes.
we're always going, God, this ain't fair. Why do I gotta, you know, we're always praying about the things we're scared about. We're always praying about things, you know, and so really how different are we from them? And so Israel has always been kind of just, the Bible talks about how the Old Testament was written for our examples. And we see that a lot of the things, the battles we have in our life, Israel had kind of demonstrated through the Old Testament as well. And so we see ourselves kind of following that. But so it's certainly possible that their heart would have been hardened, but again, it was a perfect timing which God could send his son to come and be born and then lead his people. And, of course, they rejected that. But then, again, that's all part of God's plan because he had to be crucified. And one of the things I chewed on towards the end of this week before, or the end of this last week here, I should say, before the Resurrection Sunday is the parable Jesus told about how the father had sent, or this father had this land, and he sends these messengers to go back and check on the land, but they don't like him, and they kill him. Mm-hmm. And he thinks, well, if I send my son, they won't kill him. And they kill him too.
Yeah.
You know, and I was thinking about that, that, you know, all these messengers that came and Israel had rejected them. And then when Jesus comes, you know, surely they wouldn't reject him, but they did. And, of course, but by him dying, though, God had used that to save. And it, again, shows you just the wonderful grace and mercies of God and the righteousness of God and the goodness of God.
Absolutely.
Because here's a very people that are rejecting that the Lord loves, that the children of the people that are children of Abraham, the people he's loved. He loves these people, and they're rejecting his son, but yet he's going to give his son to die for him anyway.
Absolutely.
And, so, you know, that's such a picture of that.
Yeah, I completely agree. Sorry, I just got reminded of another question I had. I know, once again, kind of hopping from one subject to another, still kind of...
You know, sometimes when we do the podcast, we've got a particular agenda we really want to cover, and we want to make sure we hit certain things. And other times we want to just
more scripted ones.
Yeah, and other times we just want to sit around the table and talk and ask questions, and they can change. It can have, you know, 14 different categories. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I just want the Lord to lead. And if there are questions out there that, you know. You know, I know it may make it difficult for you to title for the podcast, but,
well,
you know, in that case, we might just want to call it, you know, stew or something like that. Or,
you know, this is
vegetable
weird.
Stew or something, beef stew or something.
That actually worked perfect.
And,
you know, actually, I'll tell you the truth, the most popular podcast to be downloaded so far this month is the Stories from the Pastor Part 1, which is the one you talked about, your Walmart story. Who would have thought,
I'll have
right?
I'll have to do a few more of those because I've got a bunch of them, and there's some really off-the-wall, how-in-the-world-did-you-ever-get-yourself-in-that-kind-of-thing story. So
you said we can ask questions that are completely off-the-wall and unrelated to what we were talking
about. Sure, absolutely.
Okay, so... something that's been floating around my head, and I know I've asked you this multiple times, just I think it would maybe do our listeners a world of good, is why does our soul winning and our witnessing not see so much like fruitfulness as we would like hope? Like, so it's not as successful as we would want it to be, and it doesn't seem like it has much power to it.
Well, there's a lot of reasons why, but that's a great question. There's a lot of different reasons why we could address, but I'll give you a couple that I see pretty common. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'll give you a couple I see pretty
common. Because I've been wondering the same thing lately, actually.
Yeah, and that I see pretty common, and that may not be the reason for this person or that person, but overall I see pretty commonly that this is the case. It kind of goes back to what we've been talking about before in Romans 6, 7, and 8. And being in the Spirit, here's what I find is this, is we feel like we're doers, okay? Mm-hmm. And we need to be doers, and we're convinced we got to be doers, and we should be doers of the will of God. Before, we were doers trying to earn our way to heaven, then we realized...
Because our mindset's based on success.
Based on work and and do. I mean, matter of fact, when you go back to the Adam when he fell, that was one of the curses, was that he's going to work really hard in the field for a little bit of fruit.
Yeah.
You know, and so he's got to be a big doer just to get by. And again, we see that, you know, in the law, we work 6 days, rest the seventh. There are a lot of people, they work 5 days, take two off. But, you know, I believe give one of those days to the Lord, in my opinion, you know. And
for sure.
But we've talked about schedules before. But I think a lot of people are doers. And instead of, here's what happens is this, is we get so caught up in trying to do what God would want us to do, without God doing it through us. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, now we have a problem. And instead of us doing God or God doing it through us, what we've done is this: we've intermingled ourselves in with Him. And it should be Him with us, really, is where it should be. And so as we yield to God and we let the Spirit of God lead us, and as He leads us, He guides us. And as He guides us, He's going to use us.
So it's just kind of like having faith that He'll produce?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and like I've told you this before, Levi, when you pray, and if it's God's will, you don't have to keep asking Him over and over and over.
It's like one and done.
I mean, it's a one and done. Once you talk to God about it, it should be in your mind, you know, I have faith, God's got this done. Yeah, it's just a matter of time when it's to come to pass. And so when people say, well, it's easy to say that, but that's a name it claim it. No, it's not, not in that regard, because the Bible says God not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance, or none should perish, and all come to repentance. And so God wills that everybody, you know, He wants to save everybody He can. And so you should really believe it. But again, it goes back to then faith. And so, as we've talked about before, as being a doer in the Lord, whenever to do that, you have to walk after the Spirit. Mm-hmm. The Bible says you're to walk after the Spirit, not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And when you walk after the Spirit, that does two things. Number one is it makes you subject to the Spirit, like we had talked before. And being subject to the Spirit means this: is you're prone to. To be influenced by, or prone to be, you know, touched or whatever, or moved or whatever it may be, by the influences of something else. Mm-hmm. Okay, so for example, if it's hot outside, you're liable to sweat because why? The heat is affecting you. Yeah. So you're prone to be affected by the influence of something else when you're subject to something. And so when you're walking in the Spirit, you're prone to the Spirit. You're going to be affected by the influences of the Spirit. But the second part of that is this, is we're focused on the walk instead of the work.
Yeah.
And I think most Christians today are more focused on the work than the walk. And that's why it's so important that we have so many people in church, and we have so many in our Sunday school class. Whereas you need to be, you know, God, I just want to walk with You, and I want to know everything I can about You, and I want to please You, and I want to be as close to You as I can, and I want to do anything You want me to do. And then God brings somebody to a Sunday school class, and you got one. Praise the Lord, I've got a disciple I can teach. Mm-hmm. You know, but today it's like, I only have one in my class. You know what I'm saying? And then when we only have one in our class, we're like, oh, man, I need to just quit. Somebody else had 12 in theirs, and... You know, again, that's not should be the focus of believers today. And we do that in churches, too. Preachers are really bad about doing that in churches as well.
And who's to say that maybe if you're working on a specific person and you don't see any results and they maybe, like, move away, who's to say that that doesn't open their heart, like the work you put in doesn't open their heart for someone else to
that see was, it? Exactly. And that was another thing that I was going to go to as well is that of, you know, this is one of the common reasons. Another common reason is this is sometimes it's not for you to experience the fruit of that. You know, for example, if I'm over here visiting with Tyler and he says, Dad, I can't get the tomatoes to grow. And I said, well, here, you know, why don't you put a vine up or put a stake up and tie them to the stake or whatever. They tend to grow whenever they have something to support them like that. And then all of a sudden he does that, and then he gets a really good crop of tomatoes. And now I sowed, I helped him, or I, you know, I watered or whatever I did, but it was him that got the increase there. And we got to remember sometimes, like you said, if, for example, like with you being a junior in high school, say there's a boy that you're working on who's on the trap shooting team, or a guy you work with at Fairway or something of that nature, and you're trying to win him to the Lord, and you share Bible verses with him, you share the truth with him, you just really, the Spirit of God has worked through you to touch him, but he doesn't get saved or doesn't give his life to Christ, or didn't get right with God if he's saved already, and then he moves away, but then again, you sowed seed that God will now send somebody to water. And some, to be honest with you, God likes to use a bunch of people because, you know, let's be honest, we could get full of pride if it's used, it's just us only, it's being used. Mm-hmm. You know, so if it takes 10 of us to win somebody to the Lord, but all 10 of us work together as a team, and we win 100 people to the Lord, then none of us really can brag and say it was me. We can all agree that it was God, you know, and it was God that used us. And so it's like, much more effective that way.
And work is our duty and results are God's duty. So when we do our part and do the work, mm-hmm. that means we couldn't have done anything more to influence them.
Yeah, you just do what it is God tells you mm-hmm. to do and leave the results to him. Mm-hmm. And duty belongs, the old saying, duty belongs to us, results belong to God, is what you're kind of alluding to there. So
it's true,
absolutely.
Too. Well, we only have time for about one more question, so I want to ask an easy question for you, Dad.
Okay.
Why, go back to the resurrection here, I know we kind of hopped around a little bit, but why was John the only one that went to Jesus' crucifixion? I mean, I understand a lot of them were scared, but James didn't go. Peter, who was supposed to be this powerful, explosive guy, he tucked his tail and ran. Why did none of them else fight to stand with Jesus?
Well, the scripture, again, like you said, these are kind of more speculative questions, but scripture really doesn't allude to anything, and so now it's going to basically be my opinion.
Well, yeah.
You know, or whatever.
I trust your opinion, so I mean.
But, yeah, but here's what I think. Peter, in my opinion, I think he kind of probably got a bit embarrassed and his feelings hurt when Jesus had told him to put up his sword. He said, Peter, you know, put up your sword in your sheath. And he says, no, it's not thou that, you know, they that live by the sword shall also perish by the sword. And, you know, Peter got embarrassed right there in front of everybody. I mean, these are Roman soldiers, and these are officers of the chief priests. I mean, these aren't, you know, run of the mill.
Yeah,
these are people that you don't want to be embarrassed in front of them. They're the businessmen and the bankers in town and the police officers and that kind of thing.
These are people he's gonna die in front of and show his zeal and
yeah.
And now he's been rebuked.
And then, you know, and the fact that he had been so aggressive and he had attacked Malchus like he did, cutting off his ear, and I assume he's trying to kill him, and Malchus is able to evade the swing. But, you know, so someone like Peter, he's just went through all that. Then he's denied the Lord, and now the rooster's crowed. So not only is he dealing with the fact that he's really kind of an enemy of the state because he's been so hostile towards the Roman government and towards the Jewish, you know, chief priests, the religious leaders, mm-hmm. and which are really the kind of the city leaders as well.
Because that was what Malchus was tied in with, right?
Yep, and then, exactly, and then, to top it all off, now he feels super guilty for what he's done, plus he's scared for his life, and to be honest with you, I mean, stop and think about it. How many times have you wondered whether God was going to be good to you when you'd known you had just done something evil?
Not like every day.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, how can I expect God to bless me? How can I expect God to do this for me whenever I had done something so evil just as a recent? And Peter, I mean, how could he expect God to protect him standing there before the cross with all these, you know, people that are very hostile towards Christianity at that time period? They're hostile towards Jesus. Surely they'd be hostile towards him, especially being as aggressive as he's been. Mm-hmm. And he probably doesn't, and in his mind, and again, in speculation, he probably doesn't have a lot of confidence. He thinks God's going to protect him. But again, God would have, because it's not about our performance.
Exactly.
God doesn't accept us based on our performance, because nobody can be accepted. He accepts us because of the blood of Jesus and our faith in that. In you know, the Bible says that. So, you know, so there's a reason why I think for him. The other ones, I think, of course, Judas Iscariot had denied the Lord. By this time, he's already dead, and he had betrayed him. And then the remaining nine, the Bible talks about how immediately they were up in the upper room. I assume they probably went back to the upper room. And then my thinking is this, is when Jesus had been arrested, he had contended, if it's me that you seek, let the others go.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says that was to fulfill the scripture that they would be scattered. Now, whether they were scattered and they all went to different houses or they all went to the upper room, but they left that area, and I don't know. In my opinion, I think they probably went to the upper room, but if they may have went home that night, they may have went to different places to stay.
At least one of them would have went to get a change of clothes, I mean.
Right, or something, and so who knows what they were doing, but I think most of them were very scared, very discouraged. You know, they're questioning, you know, because again, the Jewish teaching had been consistently that the Messiah was going to come. They didn't think he was going to die. They thought he was going to come and live forever.
Be a warrior king.
Yeah, be a warrior king after the order of David. That's, again, why he was called Messiah, because he's the anointed one. He was the lineage of David. And that's why you see that it's so important that the lineage of David be established. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the Lion out of the tribe of Judah. And so, you know, you see that. And so I think that's a reason why a lot of that's going on. They're discouraged. They're confused. They're scared, they're angry, they're frustrated, they're questioning everything. And but John, on the other hand, he's got an understanding of the Lord like no other, it seems. And of course, John is loyal to a fault. He's more loyal than Peter is at this particular moment. And it's interesting, as history has taught, that the other disciples all were martyred. John's the only one that just continued to live.
Yeah.
And they say, and so they couldn't kill him. They put in a pot of boiling oil and couldn't kill him. And it's like, you know what? He's loyal to God. He's just going to live for a long time.
Let that be a lesson to you if you're listening.
Exactly. And
be loyal, and you can live a long time.
So, but that's kind of my opinion. And again, that's just some thoughts I've had about it. There might be some better stuff out there. And don't be afraid to share that with us. And I'm always looking for more good information. One of the things I've learned a long time ago, if you're ever going to be a teacher, you better be a very good student. And I try to be a better student than I ever am a teacher. And I don't want to ever not be a student. And so I plan to be a student the rest of my life.
Me too. Well, anyway, thank you. I know we kind of ran a little long here, but I want to say thank you, Pastor, for coming in tonight. I know we're recording this tonight, and it kind of takes a long time to be able to get this all done. And thank you so much for dedicating so much time.
Absolutely.
Okay, and then Levi, I want to say thank you for coming in this time and just being willing to sacrifice your time.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And thank you, Dad, for being so open and answering the questions that are popping up, you know what I mean?
And again, this might, you know, I don't know how to title this one, Tyler. It might be potpourri or something of that nature, but it's definitely been a kind of a hodgepodge kind of. But again, I this is kind of the format that we probably more envisioned.
We'll probably call it Roundtable Talk or something.
Yeah, that's, again, you're much better with titles than I am, so.
Well, I steal them a lot from social media, so I mean. So anyway, real quick, guys, before we dismiss and kind of close this out, I just want to remind you guys, reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. Testimonies, prayer requests, if you need any counseling or any kind of advice, we'd love to hear from you. Hit us up on our Twitter accounts. Mine is at Tyler Robbins, TylerRobbinz. Our church is, Calvary One, right, Levi? By the blood one. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Of course, our website's bytheblood.org. Our email address is fundamentalbaptist@yahoo.com, and mine that I use for the church is robbinsman25@gmail.com. Feel free to reach out to us in any way, any of those ways. Otherwise, you can also give us a phone call at 641-228-5362. Our actual physical address, if you just want to write us, is 703 Milwaukee Street, Charles City, Iowa, 50616. Once again, feel free to reach out to us too and get your free merchandise, get your free mug, get your free t-shirt. Giving them away, so feel free to reach out. Anyway, let's go ahead and close it for the day. Remember, the Lord loves you, and I hope you're having a great day.